He watched with much interest. Rose never told me about the packet of cooking herbs. What are they for?
We burn them. They're a charm against witchcraft.
What's the white stuff?
That's salt. It wards off bad luck and turns the flames a lovely blue.
And the cake?
Well, we show that to the fire before we eat it, and then you dance round the fire.
I told him I was much too old for that. Not on your life, you're not, said Simon. I'll dance with you.
When the fire was blazing high, I felt we had better get the rites over. My self-consciousness about them had come back a little, so I was as matter-of-fact as possible. We burnt the salt and the herbs and shared the cake with Heloise. Simon only had a very small piece because he was full of dinner. Then we drank the vicar's port. There was only one wine glass, so Simon had his out of the medicine bottle, which, he said, added very interesting overtones. And then we made our libations, with an extra one for Rose. I hoped we could leave things at that, but Simon firmly reminded me about dancing round the fire. In the end, we just ran round 7 times, with Heloise after us, barking madly.
What now? Asked Simon, when we flopped down at last.
Well, there's nothing more, except that I usually sit still while the flames die down and try to think myself back into the past.
The fire died quickly. Soon there was nothing but grey smoke drifting in the grey dusk. I asked Simon if we were seeing by the last of the daylight or the first of the moonlight, and really it was hard to tell. Then, gradually, the moonlight won, and the mist shrouding the castle turned silver.
Could anyone paint that? Said Simon.
Debussy could have done it in music. Are you fond of him?
I had to admit that I'd never heard a note of Debussy.
Oh, surely you must have, not on records or the radio.
When I told him we had neither a gramophone nor a wireless, he looked staggered.
I suppose Americans find it hard to believe there is anyone in the world without such things. He told me they had a new machine at Scopney that changed its own records. I thought he was joking, till he began to explain how it worked. He finished by saying, "But why don't I drive you over to hear it now? We'll have some supper."
"But you said you were full of dinner," I reminded him.
"Well, I'll talk while you eat, and Heloise can have a bone in the kitchen. Come on, this grass is getting very damp."
He pulled me to my feet. I was glad to accept, because I was fabulously hungry. Simon stamped out the dying embers, and suddenly I knew that this might be my last year for the rites, that if I ever held them again, I should be playing with the children. I only felt the smallest pang of sadness, because the glory of supper at Scotney was stretching ahead of me. But I said to myself that, Simon or no Simon, I was going to give the farewell call. A farewell forever this time, not just for a year.
"Aye-o!"
I called, and it echoed back from the castle walls as I knew it would. Then Heloise raised her head and howled, and that echoed too. Simon was fascinated. He said it was the best moment of the rites. There were very few lights on at Scotney. I suddenly wondered if all the servants would be in bed. But the butler came out to meet us. How extraordinary it must be to be able to tell a large, imposing man, "Just bring a tray of supper for Miss Mortmain to the pavilion, will you?" without even apologizing for giving trouble so late at night. We went out at the back of the house. Simon led the way into the water garden and turned on the fountains in the middle of the big oval pool. We sat on a stone bench, watching them for a few minutes, then went into the pavilion. Simon only lit one candle. "I'll put it out when I start the phonograph," he said. "Then you can still see the fountains while you listen to Debussy. They go well together. I'll try Clair de Lune on you, and I bet you'll find you know it." He was right. As soon as it began, I remembered. A girl once played it at a school concert. It is beautiful, and the gramophone was amazing. It might have been someone really playing the piano, only much better than I ever heard a piano played. Well, Debussy certainly made a hit with you, said Simon. What a pity Rose doesn't like music. I turned to him in astonishment. But she does. She plays much better than I do. She sings, too. All the same, she doesn't really like it, he said firmly. I took her to a concert and she looked quite wretched with boredom. Ah, here's your supper. It came on a silver tray, and the butler spread a lace cloth on a little table for it. Simon put on some dance records and turned the gramophone very low, then came back and sat at the table with me.